This morning, I just want to continue on looking at God speaking to us, and God speaking to us through His Word. And that's we know that God speaks to us in a number of ways, but one major way is through His Word. And that's why we have His Word, right? And it's great to hear sermons preached. It's great to listen to preaching tapes. It's great to watch Christian TV programs. It's great to read Christian books. But reading the Bible for yourself in a quiet time, that's still the most profitable all in God's Word for us, right? And I know we've got all these little gadgets these days and so forth, but and sometimes it just takes a little time to set time aside. And reading God's Word and allowing it to just speak into our heart. Because, you know, the Word of God is still the best medicine cabinet there is. You know, sometimes we go through that medicine cabinet and there's all kinds of stuff in there when we can't sleep and when we can sleep to wake us up and all of those things, right? But we know that God's Word never expires and it's never outdated. So you never have to bundle all that stuff up and take it to a Shopper's Drug Market or wherever you take it and take it to all the outdated stuff so it gets environmentally safely disposed of and all of those things. But God's Word, it's always fresh. And He speaks to us in basically two different ways. Now, that's pretty easy for us, right? Anyway, for me. Like, I don't like to count too much beyond 10. So with two, I'm comfortable with. And basically, that's what God speaks to us. He speaks to us in two different ways. First of all, He speaks to us universally through His Word. That means when His Word is written, that it means all of us, we're all included, and we're all there to hear His Word. And everything that is written, it relates to all of us. But then there are also times when, in God's Word, where He speaks to us individually. And that's really, I think, for all of us, very, very important. And for all of us, it's, I think, when we have somebody talking to us personally, it makes a difference, right? And we can be in a public place and hear all the things that are saying. But when somebody comes and talks to us personally, there is something about that. And so when God speaks to us, oftentimes it's with a specific message. It's just not, you know, tapping us on the shoulder, or sometimes in the Christian circles we feel that God is tapping us on the head, right? But God sometimes speaks to us in all of these different ways. Sometimes it's for a specific situation. Sometimes it's a specific time. But basically, God uses speaking to us when it's His Word. And that is in the Greek, they call it, in theological terms, they just call it logos, right? And that is the Word of God for everybody. And that is Genesis to Revelation. All of those things in between. I know there are some people that think, oh, I'm only New Testament, or I'm only Old Testament. But God's Word is there because there's a thread there that goes through it. There's a thread there that goes right from Genesis, right through to the end of Revelation. And I need to understand that thread. There are the Ten Commandments, for instance. There are the thou shalt and the shalt not, and the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are ye, and so forth. There's a great commission going into all the world. And sometimes even when we were ministering in a culture that was very, very poor, and that we're oftentimes dependent upon being helped by others, even that word going into all the world, it related to them. And oftentimes they couldn't understand that. And even this whole matter of giving of yourself, they said, well, how can we give? And I just used to say, well, how can God bless you if you don't give, right? Because it's a core teaching in God's Word, that God blesses those that give. And we could tell you some instances of where they began to take a hold of that Word, and God blessed them beyond all measure. I remember one young guy came to me one day, and he wrote me a letter. He was quite a ways away, and he said, Pastor, he said, I'm building a church, and I need your help. And I said, great, I'm going to help you. So he was all excited. I said, I'm going to pray for you. He said, ah. I said, yeah, that's right. I said, that's exactly what I'm going to do for you. And you know what? They built one of the biggest churches that we had in all of our denomination It was huge. Even myself, like I wouldn't have had the faith to start that church, let me tell you. But they built this church, but it was because of the fact that they began to give, right? And they began to understand God's word, what it was all about. And so it is that when we look at God's word, it doesn't matter what country we're in, doesn't matter what stage of life, doesn't matter any of those things. When we read God's word, it applies to me. And that's the wonderful thing about God's word. And that is the Logos word. And then there is the designation, which is called Rhema, which is the word to you and me personally. And as I said, for that specific time, oftentimes, for that specific mention, and that message that God wants to give to me personally. And, you know, sometimes I think we run into this problem in our Christian society where we just feel that every word in God's word is for me. Every promise is there. It's not that way. Every commandment is not for you or for me. And there are instructions, for instance, in God's word, which are not for us for this day. Let's just look at the sacrifices, right? We are not called today to bring and slaughter animals and all of these things, even though it's in God's word, because it is not for today. And then I think there's one there that all the ladies will be happy about, and that is that Sarah was going to have a baby at 99. Now, I don't know how many ladies here would like to have a baby at 99. I know as a father, I don't think I'd like it, right? Like there's a bit of work for having a baby, but that is not specific to us. It was a specific promise to Sarah and for the continuation of the generation, right? And Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, here is a Rhema word, a word that is for all of us, and it's for us personally as well. And it says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." That is fantastic, that God will give us rest. We can have all kinds of rest, but when God gives us rest, there's a difference there. And it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And then Matthew chapter 28, verse 20 says, "Lo, I am with you always." How can you tell that to read the King James, right? Like, lo, that's a wonderful word. I like that word, lo. "I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And sometimes in our life, right, we think, boy, it's pretty close, the way situations and things come into our life. We say, like, I just don't know if I can take this any longer. And there's God, and he says, "I'm going to be with you to the end." And there are Logos words in the Word of God, which, as I said, that word that is for all of us in the Word that God gives us in Scripture. But it is the foundation for all of those words that God gives to me personally. So in other words, I can't just separate these two. And Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, and it's an example of a rhema word, a specific word for a person and for a situation. And it says, "For so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." So if we want to hear, we're talking about hearing God. If I want to hear God, then I have to have this word which ignites the faith within me. And we know that hearing, that it builds that faith. Without faith, God's words just becomes a cold words that I read on a page, right? It just stays there. When I finished reading it, when I close the book, that's where it stays. But when I hear the word of God into my heart, there's something that happens. There is something that ignites within me. And with this living word, it creates this faith and it builds up this faith of where an impossible situation suddenly becomes possible in faith in my life because of the fact that something has been ignited in me. Something has been warmed in me. And the one thing, as I said, we have this word Logos, which is for everyone, and then this word Rhema. But let me tell you that Rhema word, and that word to me, must always line up with God's word. And this is sometimes where we can get into trouble, of where we start to take a word for me, and it doesn't quite line up with God, but with God's word, we think, you know, with a little bit tinkering, like, I think it'll work, right? And sometimes that's where we're at. We kind of like to change things and say, well, I think I can make it work. But I think, again, this is so critical, like even within our marriages, right? Because whatever happens, happens to both of us. You know, it's not a matter of either shopping at Safeway or at Save On Foods or the wholesale. You know, that's no big deal, right? They all sell potatoes, as far as I know. And I don't know about you, men, but like I've never said to my wife, ah, you must have gotten these potatoes in Safeway again, right? No, they're potatoes. Like, they're all potatoes. Doesn't matter where they come from. They all look the same. They taste basically the same. And, you know, so there are times of those where we need to be more specific. And there are times in our lives, and where Ludell and I, where we've sensed God's direction in our lives. We both sense the same thing, which is a bit unusual for us. But anyway, we sense the same, like coming to Terrace. We both individually, although at first we said, no, like, doesn't line up, right? But individually, we got the sensing that God was talking to us. And so we came to Terrace. Then there were times of where I had a definite thought or idea call, like, to do something. Like, just a small thing, like packing up and going to Africa. And Ludell didn't have that feeling. So, to her credit, she said, let's go. Not quite in that word, those words or tone, right? But anyway, let's go. Then there were times of where we didn't know what to do. We said, well, here's an opportunity or here's what's happening. And we have no idea what we should do. That's it. Maybe there's a timeline staring us in the face. And we just say, well, God, like we don't even have an inkling of where you want us to go in this situation. We have no idea. We've been praying. We've been reading your word. We've been just meditating. But it just says stop, right? Blank page. And there are those times we just said, Lord, like, here's where we're at. We have this decision we have to make. There's a time limit involved, whatever, you know, maybe air tickets have to be purchased or whatever. And we just do not sense your will. And we've just simply said, Lord, here we are. And this, in our minds, we think that this is the best way and this is the way to go. And if it is not your will, then you need to show us. And so we've been fine with that, and God has helped us to make decisions in that way. But there are those times, right, when the it's important that the husband and wife, especially, realize that they are husband and wife, right? That they are one. And oftentimes, what it really means about cleaving to each other, and because some of us have relatives out there. And, but you know, it really, in the end result, it's really husband and wife, right? And oftentimes I counsel when I'm counseling, young people, and, maybe some of them will come to me now after they hear this. But when I counsel young people in marriage, I tell them, when you get married, leave the country. Like, you know, don't get away from your relatives, especially your mother and dads. And you just need to get away and establish your own marriage. I know all the things that happen to families, right? We've got all these special days and da-da-da and all this thing. In the end, the poor young married couples, like, they're drawn. Like, they, you know, we do that with his family this year, do that with her family, whatever it is. And, you know, if that's not possible then for the young couple to move away, then I just tell the parents, smarten up. Like, this is not your marriage. Like, get out of their life. Let them establish. I'm glad somebody, this is resonating with someone, right? But it's the truth, right? Because, you know, we want to do the best for our kids, and we know what's best, so why shouldn't we tell them? And why shouldn't we help them? But anyway, let's just keep on going here. Mark chapter 10, verse 17 says, as he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So after telling Jesus that he had kept all the commandments and which Jesus had mentioned, it goes on to verse 21, says, looking at him, Jesus felt compassion for him and said to him, one thing you lack. Go and sell all your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. Now that verse, I know you're going to get a big sigh of relief. That's just for the rich young ruler. It's not for you and for me, right? To go sell all our stuff. Now, there are times, of course, when God does tell us to that. But that, for generally speaking, it was a thing for this rich young ruler. And then Matthew chapter 14:26 says, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him, they were troubled. And they cried out for fear. Peter said, Lord, if it is you, bid me come to you on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water. Now, there are some hidden lessons in this portion of Scripture. First of all, Peter was the only one that was asked to walk on water. So, the other disciples weren't. Now, for the most time, we're going to be in the boat with the other disciples. God's not going to ask us to do something that he has asked someone else to do, right? John 21:3 says, Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got into the boat. Now, you notice that Peter does not say, I'm going to walk out on the water again. Like it was a one-time thing. And sometimes we can get to the place of where when God has done something to us one time or for us, we take that as a law. And we say, now, this is what God told me once, and it just for all my life, this is what it is. No, there are times when God calls us and we ask us to walk on the water one time, and that's it. No more. And we need to differentiate between those things. And that's what Peter did as well. So we just need to understand that there are always people there, helpful people that want to convince us that they have a word of the Lord for us. And, but we need to have that direction from God ourselves. And, I know we knew two fathers. They'd heard from the Lord. They were very, very rich. Both of them were very rich families. And they had a word from the Lord that, you know, the son of one should marry the daughter of the other. It didn't work. Right? Because God has individual words for us. Reminded of an encounter we had, actually a fellow evangelist. And he was telling us an experience that he had. And he was saying that he was in the service, sitting in the front there, and the Lord was moving in the service, and someone that didn't have any clue how to play the piano, like me probably, and just got up and just played beautifully on the piano. And there was a fellow that was sitting beside this evangelist that we knew, and so this evangelist, he started to shake, like the Spirit of the Lord was moving, he started to shake. And so the guy beside him nudged him and said, you know, if the Lord is telling you to do something, you better do it, right? And so he still wasn't too sure, but he said, okay, he's going to follow this guy in the piano. So he went to the piano, and he got up to the piano, sat down, goes, boing, 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 boing. He got back to his seat, and he says, wow, I'm not going to do that again. You know, so if God's telling you to do something that you do not feel comfortable with, understand the voice of God and not to this fellow that is beside you, nudging you to do something. John 14:26, but the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. 16:13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. The Holy Spirit does three things in our lives. He teaches us, he reminds us, and he guides us. Those are three things, the three works of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is there to just allow the Scriptures to become personal and dynamic in a living way. In our own words, and that's oftentimes we call it illumination. 1 Corinthians 2:10 says, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? And for example, I can say to you as a congregation, I love you. But when I say I love you to my wife, it has a different meaning, right? There's a different connotation when we say those things. And I may be preaching on a general subject in the Word. And I've had this experience many, many times in my own life. And that's why I'm not all that hepped up on giving a subject matter or whatever. Because I know that God can take, doesn't matter what the person is talking about up here. But God knows what's happening in my heart, right? And he begins to speak to us. It doesn't matter if it's off subject or not. Like, God is not worried about a subject that the pastor has in the bulletin on a Sunday morning. Like, God speaks to us in many, many different ways. And but when we are together, when we are gathered together, when we are dedicated to him, God uses that opportunity to speak into our lives about those things that he wants to touch. And we are so very thankful for him for doing that. So how do I know when God's impressing certain things on my heart? First of all, it will always agree with the Bible. And secondly, all of a sudden the scripture will become alive to us. Like, we will have read that scripture many, many times, but it will become alive. Luke 24:32 says, and they said to each other, talking about these the disciples on the way to Emmaus, and he said, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And that's what happens to us. When the Word becomes alive, it begins to burn in our hearts, right? It begins to do something. There's a melting process that takes place, and we begin to just feel that sense, that presence of God. And so in hearing God, I need to know God's Word. I need to allow Him to speak into me through His Word. And here, you know, again, we have some of these scriptures in the Word of God which cause us a lot of trouble. For instance, Paul. He had this thorn in the flesh. And it says to us there that he prayed three times. And so the question comes to us, why was this great man used of God, dedicated to God, and willing to give his life in all the things that he explains to us and gives to us in Scripture, and yet he wasn't healed? Like, what is the answer? And Paul tells us about it in 2 Corinthians 2, verses 7 and 8. And he talks about this thorn that was in his flesh and a messenger of Satan and so forth. And he prayed three times. I don't know what the significance is of three. But anyway, Paul prayed three times. And then he said, okay, that's the way it is. God is not going to heal me. I'm just going to continue to worship and to praise him and to work for him, right? And so he didn't allow these things to hold him back. And then we hear sometimes of people and their life stories, of their trials and their setbacks, and oftentimes like devastating family situations, maybe even a present situation in their lives. We almost cry, right? And then suddenly we recognize that, you know, we have never heard this story from these people before. And I don't know about you, but when I hear the life accounts of people that I have not known that well, and maybe that I have just known in a superficial way, but when I hear what they have gone through, let me tell you, I feel like I'm walking on holy ground. When they are there, when they relate to me the trials and the troubles and the things and the places that they have been, and yet when I see them, when I have come to know them, they have been serving the Lord and they've been walking with the Lord in humility and in joy and all of those things. And it makes me to understand what it means to walk with the Lord, right? Above the circumstances that are there. And possibly the best example of knowing God's word is Christ himself. And we have that account given to us there in Luke chapter 4, account where Christ is talking to the Satan and he twists, Satan twists the scripture. And that's why sometimes we need to just read the scripture ourselves. Because we get so used to hearing a scripture and part of it is left out and either beginning or the end is left out. So that's why we need to read the scripture ourselves. One day, some time ago, I was actually visiting a man in the hospital, and it was interesting when he said to me, you know, when I read the Bible, the first place I go to is Luke chapter 2, verse 2. And it says there, begins there, and it says, it is written. I thought, well, that is some great advice, right? I need to know from God's word that it is written there. The second thing that we need to do in God's word is to meditate upon it and linger in his word. Joshua 1:8 says, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." And I like Psalm 119, verse 11, and it says, "Your word have I hid in my heart." Your word. Not someone else's words, but your word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And so, just to close off and put it in simple words, you know, if I want to learn to drive, I need to have some basics in my life, right? Like I need to know something about a brake in the car and how it works. I should have some idea about how the accelerator works. And I should have some idea about gears and starting and stopping the vehicle. So there are some things that work together, right, that you just can't take by themselves. And I'm going to tell a story of my wife here when she was learning to drive. Of course, you know, in every young person should learn how to drive a standard car, right? I mean, that we shouldn't even talk about that. That should just be standard. You should learn how to drive a standard car. But her dad was a mechanic. And so he'd gotten her this car and had all fixed it all up. And so he had her backing out of the garage and, you know, telling her all these things. Well, she didn't know the difference between a brake and accelerator. So she hit the accelerator, went back out of the garage, straight across the street into the neighbor's car, all the time with her dad hollering, "Ludell, Ludell, Ludell," you know. And so that's the way scripture is. Like, we need to put it together. We can't just take one scripture out there and hold it up and say, well, this is God speaking. God speaks in a combination of all the scriptures, right? And that way, we can make it work together. And so as we use the basics in hearing God speak, we become more attuned to God. And it takes time. It takes time to just relax in God's presence and to meditate upon his word, to read his word, to know his word, and to meditate on it. And then God begins to speak, and we begin to hear, we begin to understand his word. And so this morning, we want to do that. Let's just stand for a minute and just allow the Lord to speak into our lives. And in the quietness, to just reflect on what the Lord has been saying to you this morning and what he's been saying to me this morning. It's so important just to allow the seal of the Holy Spirit to come onto our lives and just to acknowledge those things that God has been speaking to us about just for a few minutes. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we are your people and we have a desire to hear you speaking into our lives. And thank you for your word, which you have given to us as a guideline. Thank you, dear Lord, that you are always there. And as our hearts cry out, even as these disciples, as they were on the road to Emmaus, their hearts were troubled and they could not see any light ahead of them. It just seemed like darkness was all around them. And then suddenly as you spoke to them, suddenly as you opened your word to them, suddenly it became light to them. And suddenly there was a burning within their hearts that they did not even realize till later on in their lives. But there was this burning in their hearts and they acknowledged it themselves later. And they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us?" And we pray that that would be an experience that we would have day by day as we read your word. That would begin to burn into our lives in giving us direction. In giving us a sense of your presence, dear Lord. And a sense of understanding of who you are, first of all. And what you want to mean to us. And us accepting that as well in our lives. And so we just thank you again this morning for your word. And we blessed your name because you gave your word, and we have it with us today. And we can meditate upon it. We can read it. We can know it. But we just pray again today, dear Lord. Would you just allow it to burn, and would you just allow it to burn in our hearts day by day as we read it? And we want that to happen, dear Lord, that we are open to that. We pray, dear Lord, that your Holy Spirit will do that in our lives. And we want to be careful, because we want to praise you and give you the glory for that when that happens. And not just take it as something that is just normal. Oh, well, it just happened. But to realize that that you have done a great thing in our lives, even in speaking to us through your word. And so we want to thank you for that this morning. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.